Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Be opening your Bibles to John 3. I haven't been having the vision, but I've been seeing, or let's say it this way, remembering Dave teaching us about that vision he had all those years ago concerning revival. How many remembers what our mission is at the prayer center? To go far enough into God to bring a supernatural revival to a religious city. We're not against church growth. That is not our mission. We are not against programs for youth, but that is not our mission. We are not against anything that helps the body of Christ, but we have a mission from God, and it's not okay that we do something else. We're about revival here. We're about contending for this one thing, not two things. We like nice, it'd be wonderful to have a nice building with level floors. Theater seating is not so bad. Hallelujah. Now, the vision that I keep seeing, again, I'm remembering Dave teaching us about it. Because in the early days when the Lord was giving him this assignment, which one way or another, if you're part of this ministry, doesn't matter whether you're physically here. You can be physically anywhere on the earth. But if you are spiritually connected with the mission, then this vision, it really says it all. And you remember the one where, the Lord showed Dave the whole earth like a globe, and there was this dark band surrounding the earth. It was dark. And every now and then a preacher or somebody, they would get their hand maybe up through that dark band, and once they got it through, it would begin to glow. And when they'd come back then to earth and they'd lay that hand on people, they would get healed. Others, there was somebody that got their whole head somehow through it, and began to glow. And then when they came back, the teaching was just not of this world. It was absolutely the mind of Christ. And then every now and then there would be somebody who would get their whole body through that darkness, whatever it was, And they'd begin to glow like that. When they'd come back, they would become the revivalists. Wherever they'd go, revival would break out. People get saved and healed and baptized in the Holy Ghost. We only have a few of those, seems like, in every 100 years. So Dave, he was seeing that vision, and he says, "Oh, I know what that is, that dark band. Yeah, that's the devil. Remember that?" And that's what I would have thought, And the Lord said, "That's not the devil. That's your flesh." I started to text Mark Wednesday night after the service, a one-word message, quote, because he taught on fasting. Part of it was on fasting there at the end. So I was going to quote him a text with traitor. But I thought better of it. Here Dave for once has not taught the whole first quarter on fasting. So who comes along? It's Mark Jenkins, Oh my goodness. Everyone knows John 3:16 by heart. And thank God for John 3:16. But we seldom ever, many people seldom go through the rest of that chapter. But today the Lord was bringing me back through it. Yes, I have to preface it with this now. Listen, if we're going to accomplish our assignment, and in the way... yes, sir. Part of that assignment, too, is that this revival is not going to be a gifts revival. I thank God for every revival. I thank God for everybody who's doing anything that gets anybody saved, healed, baptized in the Holy Ghost, okay? But gifts revivals normally burn out quick because there's too much flesh. And they'll wind up being scandal of some kind, brought down by something or other. So part of this revival, the assignment we have, is that once this one ignites, it will not be extinguished until the second coming of the Lord. It's to burn an end time harvest that will not stop. It will not be. In order for that to happen, then it has to be a 1 Corinthians 13 revival, not a 1 Corinthians 12. And at the same time, I'm not diminishing the gifts of the Spirit, because he plainly says at the end of chapter 12, covet earnestly the best gifts. Yet show I unto you a more excellent way. More excellent way than what? Staying a baby and having revival based on the gifts. Now the gifts can flow through you if you're fully manifested as love. Do you see them flowing through Jesus? Working of miracles, the gifts of healing, everything that you see there, of course. Yet he was not an infant operating by the gifts, which the Corinthians were. Chapter 1 tells you they came behind in no gift. Chapter 3 tells you they were thumb-sucking, bottle-drinking little babies. Well, those kind of revivals can happen, but if you stay that way, it's going to be short-lived. So we've got to be transformed to love. Now, most people, and when they really start seeing the love of God, this is through history, the biggest, what normally happens there is not the same kind of fall. What normally happens there is deception into false doctrine. And they'll start saying things like, well, I mean, Dave has already had like one or two little tastes of this love. He said, when he had his first one, you remember what he said? He says, well, I thanked God for every foundation of revelation that I had on the inside of me. When you taste of God's love, the real love of God, something in you, the human part of your reasoning goes, well, how could anybody ever go to hell? I mean, God loves everybody so much. It's just, see, the human reasoning kicks in. And that's where you start getting false doctrine, like, well, you know, inclusion, or even worse than that, universalism, you know, you go far enough with that, not only is everybody saved, even the devil gets saved at the end of it, you know. And that's just not scriptural, and that's one of the reasons he was showing me today. I didn't really know that inclusion and universalism is done away with in John chapter 3. Well, I did kind of, you know. I mean, you know, John 3:16, you could kind of go just on that alone. But look at what John the Baptist said. Now, even though this is in the Gospel of John, we're looking here at John the Baptist. You know. So let's pick it up after the ones that we normally read, John 3:16, 17, 18, 19. Let's pick it up in verse 22. After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing in Aenon near to Salem, because there was much water there. And they came and were baptized, for John was not yet cast into prison. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizes, and all men come to him. Do you see what they're doing? They're trying to cause jealousy, division between John the Baptist and Jesus. Well, he's baptizing down there, and his crowd's a lot bigger than yours. There's a whole message right there, but you're too mature for that. Okay? That's not what we're after today. Religion, anyway. Okay. And John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except to be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear the witness that I said. In other words, I told you, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. I can't help but show you a little teaching vision from there one time. See, John is the last prophet from the Old Covenant. At one point, Jesus says about John the Baptist, born of women, there has arisen no greater than John the Baptist. Yet he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. You remember that? One day I was going through this passage right there, right at that verse. He must increase, but I must decrease. John's eyes beheld the Savior. Moses got to see the promised land. But Moses never got to go into the promised land. John the Baptist never experienced a new birth on this earth. There is no mingling of the two covenants. One must decrease. The other must increase. There's another message right there. That's not what he's after today. But isn't that good? His eyes beheld the promised land too, John the Baptist. But he never got to enter in. Not in this. Later he did. Verse 31. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that comes from heaven is above all. Boy, he had revelation, didn't he? And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. Boy, if this is not, that's Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. That is the whole issue. That's what the writer of Hebrews is telling them. God in sundry times and in divers manners in times past has spoken unto us by the prophets, but in these last days he has spoken unto us by his Son. You either believe that, go on into eternal life, or you reject it and be condemned with the world. Verse 34, for he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God gives not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hands. Now we read all that for context. Here's the verse. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but notice. But the wrath of God abideth on him. When you taste of that love of God, it's hard to believe there is any wrath. But there is. Now, from God's point of view, all of his wrath, the fullness of his wrath, was poured out upon Jesus. That is the good news. That is the message. That if you believe on him, see, now with that thinking, back up to John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him, Jesus, is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. The human race is lost. Good works don't count for anything. It'd be like a good ant and a bad ant. They're both an ant. Can't change what they are. When you step on them, they die. The human race is lost. It's a species not of God. God loves them. God gave his only begotten Son. I feel almost like I am an example. If God can save me, God can save anyone. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. But we have, as we go into this revival, now why this is connected, we are going to go into the love of God. And you're going to die more horrible deaths than you've died already. I've understood from Dave's teachings for years, one of the primary reasons for speaking in other tongues was that I know not what to pray for as I ought. And I don't know my call. I don't know what he wants me to do. I don't know what's wrong with me. I don't know why I keep making the same mistakes. But yet the Holy Spirit, he knows all of those things. He knows the plan of God for your life, and he knows why you do what you do. So I've understood for many years that one of the primary reasons for speaking in other tongues is he had to go around my intellect because it's so stupid. And I don't care, you could have PhD behind your name 14 times and you're still stupid when it comes to the things of God. And that's why he needs those other tongues, so he can communicate directly to your spirit without having to go through that filter of the mind. But recently, during a service, and I say recently, within the last month or two, 3 months maybe, Alan happened to be doing the message and teaching about the love of God, 1 Corinthians 13, and this time I saw it just a little bit different. It's worse than lack of knowledge. That transition from operating as a child, I love my grandchildren. Y'all know I love my Lily Cakes and I love my Tyler Cakes, who's 18. I love my Lindsay Cakes, who's 21. They're all a little, to me. I love them. But little children, they're full of life and love and we love, but they're very selfish. They really are. You want to see World War III? Put 2 2-year-old boys in a room with 1 Tonka truck. Won't be very long. World War III. We're selfish to the core. Well, the love of God begins that transformation process, And it's not that I don't love God. I know I love God. But I don't love, yes, sir. I know I love God. I know from Dave's teaching I have the DNA of God's love within me. But I do also know that very often it just doesn't seem like that works very well. And so when Alan was teaching about going from the gifts to walking in love, this time I saw that tongues thing just a little different. He said, son, it's worse than lack of information or lack of knowledge in the brain. He says, son, I am love. At this point, you're not so much. I'm wanting you to interact with that lost person in a certain way and reach them with my love. But you cannot even perceive what I'm talking about, or it's worse than what I'm talking about. You can't perceive my heart towards them. So I who am love has to, again, walk around your intellect. Worse than that. I have to walk around your whole soul. Who you are. And I don't mean in a positional sense, but I mean where I'm walking. Where I am today, and I have to communicate because I have put in you my love. That DNA is in you, and I can speak to him. And I communicate love in spite of you. Did you get that? I communicate love in spite of you. Now the day will come if you'll let my spirit have his way with you. I can communicate my love through you. And that's the way he operated through Jesus. Verse 36 here in John. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Now what's interesting, that's John the Baptist who says that. I'm not going to go there today, but you know what? John, the Gospel of John, the author of this book, the one who wrote this down, he quotes this almost word for word in his little epistle, 1 John. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. And you got it, John the Baptist said it first. Now there is a wrath of God that is still on the earth. I did a word search this morning on just that phrase, the wrath of God. Most of it occurs in the New Testament. Most of it's in the book of Revelations. I copied and pasted them. And he had me erase them off my sheet of paper because I'm not ready to preach them yet. Not the ones in Revelations. But he says, this verse right here, 36, you got to understand it. If you don't have the Son, the wrath of God is still upon you. That is the whole point of Jesus coming. So that you don't have to endure the wrath of God. Well, the whole world is going to endure it. All the ones that we don't reach, we meaning the real church, that we don't reach. Now, the reason this is connected with that flesh vision, when we, some of these verses you'll see as we go along. See, Ephesians 6 tells us that we wrestle not with flesh and blood. Okay, well, that means we're not wrestling with the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites like they did in the Old Testament. But we're wrestling with principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world and so forth and so on. But you know the first level of that wrestling? He doesn't normally send you to like Iran to bring down that principality over Iran. Although that sure needs to come down. How do you war against principalities and powers? How do they have any access through your life? It's unmortified flesh. Go ahead and turn now, I guess, to Romans chapter 1. We'll just look at this one real quick. Look at verse 18, Romans 1. Yes, sir. Okay, pick up my train of thought again here now. See, how do principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness, if we're going to wrestle against them, let's not go to Iran yet. Let's not go there yet. Let's win the baby to love battle first. Okay? Let's conquer this land before we go try and conquer that land. A more excellent way. Let's grow up into love, say it another way. How do we war against principalities, powers? How do they have any... I'm saved, Brother Gary. I'm saved, yeah? Well, how do they have any access through you? How would you wrestle with them? Well, it's unmortified flesh. Yes, sir. And this is where I was going to go next now. We'll get to Romans. See, for years, loving God, serving God, you all know I smoked for eternity and 3 days after as a Christian. And I tried a lot of things to quit, but I love my flesh too much to quit. I just say it like it is. I liked the feelings. And be honest with you, at that time I liked everything about smoking. I'll just tell you the truth. I liked it. At that time I loved a good cup of coffee. And I don't know why, but strawberry milkshakes always tasted good when I was smoking. I don't know why. I know. Other people that are free, they're going, how could you ever be like that? I don't know. But I was. Something in me liked poison. I could say that same thing if you're addicted to the internet. I could say that same thing if you're addicted to gossip. Here's a tough one. I could say that same thing if you're still addicted to money. Greed. There's something in you that likes poison. And you like it. Yes, sir, that's a word that came through Mark Wednesday night. I heard that at the end. He said, there's something in you that's... And he didn't call anybody out. He says, you know, and I bet it was for more than one person. He says, there's something in you that still likes it. And you got to pray and fast until you don't like it anymore. See, because really, one of the verses I have on here, I'm just going to tell you instead of you turning to that one, Hebrews 1:9, when it's talking about Jesus, it says, thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Well, that's the image. That's him whose image has been placed in me. So my spirit man is exactly that way. My spirit man was that way during that 20 some odd years that I smoked as a Christian. Now here's a spirit man on the inside that hates iniquity and a soul that likes it. Now, smoking is not the most iniquitous thing, I guess, on earth, but it's iniquity enough. It'll do for teaching purposes. How was I being controlled by the black band? Can I say it that way? Something in me, my senses, my physical man, something in the brain liked the feelings that came with nicotine. Men do pornography because they like the feelings. People do drugs because they like the feelings. People murder because at that instant it feeds a feeling of some kind, rage, revenge, something. Okay? So more and more now as we're coming into this love, I'm seeing again, I'm remembering again that vision that God gave Pastor Dave in the beginning. We have got to come to the place where we hate iniquity, whatever form it takes, in the same way that Jesus does. And the seed of that is, the good news is, the seed of that is already in us. Well, if the seed is there, who waters the seed? That's the Holy Ghost. God gives the increase. I mean, you know, one plants and other waters, but God gives the increase. Praying in other tongues. The Holy Spirit, room by room by room in our soul. I remember when I loved money. See, I remember that one. It's easy for me to remember it. I loved it, served it all of my days. Every decision I made, one way or another, was based on money. Don't look at me like that. The whole world is based on that. You'll move anywhere for it. Give me a $10,000 raise, I'll move anywhere. It doesn't matter if there's a church in 100 miles. I'm going. That's the way I was, you know. Yes, sir. Stay very close, he says. Okay. All right. Go back to Romans 1:18. We're talking about the wrath of God. We've got to understand, as we go into the love of God, we're not going to get 1 or 2 degrees off. Gary, how can you say that? Because we're going to have this revival. God's going to be able to manifest that revival through us. If I did not believe that, I would go to the first church where they tell me I'm okay. And they have every nice thing. Why not? The blood of Jesus is enough. If that satisfies you, I thank God if it does, you know. But if that's all there is, might as well go to the first church where they have lattes in the foyer. Latte in the foyer. It almost rhymes. But there's a hunger in me and there's a hunger in you, or you wouldn't be still here at this slopety floored church. There's something in you that knows we've been called of God to bring something to the earth that the earth has not seen since the book of Acts. Not on any kind of consistent basis, not apart from the gifts. Well, that means we've got transformation yet to do. We've got to become those people that get all the way through that black band. Not a fingertip, not an earlobe, not just a head. And the warfare, the first level of that warfare is, what is it in me that likes iniquity? Whatever that is, that's how I'm being controlled by principalities, powers, and rulers of darkness. Doesn't have to be drugs. Doesn't have to be nicotine. I'm using that because that's an easy example to teach from. And you're not going to convince me I didn't love God. I did love God. Serving God. People getting saved, healed, baptized in the Holy Ghost. But God was having to use me mostly in the gifts. Probably still is. I thank God for the gifts. I was so emphasizing on that recent trip to Othello. I said, most people, we're supposed to pursue love and not power, and they give up on the gifts and just pursue love. That's not what Paul said. He said, covet earnestly the best gifts. So I did it like this. I said, I have a 5-year-old granddaughter named Lily Cakes. Well, she's Lily, but to me she's Lily Cakes. She has a little trouble with her R's. So when she wants something really bad, she goes, Papa, I want it. Wheely, wheely, bad. So I led him in this confession. Father, concerning the gifts, I want them. Say it with me. I want them, Father. Wheely, wheely, bad. Wheely, bad, I want it. I want the gift of healing flowing through me. I want the word of knowledge flowing through me. Want all the gifts flowing through me? Really bad, God. Trying to emphasize, we're not supposed to lay that down. He said, covet earnestly the best gifts, yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Well, let's don't lay down the gifts while we pursue love. Let Him heal through you. Let Him speak through you. Let Him prophesy through you. Let Him do the working of miracles, you little baby. You qualify is what I'm saying. You qualify. I do too. Thank God forever. But we can hang on to the gifts and operate in the gifts while we go on into maturity of love. The day will come. We'll be more like how Jesus operated. He didn't wake up every morning going, oh, I hope the gift of healing is working through me today. He'd walk up to people like a waiter at a fine restaurant, like he'd offer them the whole menu. What would you have me do for you? And he's holding out the whole menu of God. Can I say it that way? What do you need from God? Boy, won't that be a day. When anybody that comes to the revival, whatever, I doubt we'll still be in this building. But who knows? I don't care if we meet in that field. Who cares? Well, we might on a rainy day. But anyway, I'm saying. Well, what would you have God do for you? What do you need from God? Hold it out to Him like that. And boy, whatever they ask, God can send it through you. Because you're not a little baby on the gifts anymore. You've matured into the image of His Son. And the works that He did, we do also. That's what our life is about, is contending for that right there. We're not going there without the love of God, not really. And we're not going to have that love of God without getting all the way through that band of flesh. Now, God has done His part. Positionally, legally, in the courts of heaven, your flesh is declared dead. You know, your spirit man has been reborn. God provided a way for our mind to be renewed. But it's almost like God looked at our flesh and He said, even I can't do anything with that. I just declare it dead. I finally understood why Achan, in the book of Joshua, he's the one that held back a little silver and gold, you know, and hid it away. He didn't get a second chance, and that just seemed so unlike God to me. I mean, in my walk with God, I've had a second chance, third chance, 70 times 7 in a day chance. Naked one time, that's it. And they put a big heap of stones, not only on him, but his wife, his kids, his donkeys, his camels, everything that he had. They put a big, well, that's a, what is that big pile of stones? That's a big grave, that's a grave sign. And I understood it finally. Achan's a type of the flesh. Can't negotiate with it. Even God can't negotiate with it. He just declared it dead. Well, my flesh was positionally dead for 20 some odd years while I smoked as a Christian. Something in me, not in my spirit, but something in me liked the feelings that came with it. And the only thing in my case that got me past it, yes sir, let me back up a step. Dave saved my life time and again. Now sometimes he would be real mean to me, I thought. I've always sat right over in that same area, even before I was told to. Well, Dave says he wants... Why do you think Tim and I sit where we sit? Dave says, I want to know where you are if I need you. Okay? But we're sitting over there, and Dave would do one of those messages. Are you being controlled by a little stick about 3 inches long? And I'd be, yeah, I am. It won't send you to hell. Just make you smell like you've already been there. But then usually that same message or shortly thereafter, he'd give me the other side of the coin. Save my life. My spiritual life. Because I'd be honest with you, I'd get so condemned and feel so powerless. Don't you feel powerless when something's controlling you? I felt like that. See, I wanted to go with false doctrine then. I wanted to go, okay, the guy in Romans 7, sure enough, that's a Christian having trouble with his flesh. No, it's not. No, it's not. Dave was right the whole time. No, that's a man That's not born again. A type of the old covenant. Anybody who's been given the law of God and wants to keep it, but finds out they can't because they don't have a nature to keep it. But I felt so powerless, I could sure identify. I can see why they think that in Romans 7, you know. Anyway, Dave would save my life, he'd say. God will walk through hell with you. With you in your faults. As long as you don't start justifying it. As long as you don't start saying sin is not sin. And as long as you keep doing those things that one day will spell your freedom. Like praying in tongues, fasting, meditation, doing the seven pillars of the message. So that would give me courage. Again and again and again. But see, eventually, by doing that, if you keep doing that, I don't care what it is you're struggling with. I don't care what, and I'm not preaching down to internet fingers. I'm not preaching down to whatever it is that might have you. But if you love God and want to be free, you keep doing this message, He'll get you free too. With me, it took an encounter with the Lord. It was a vision. I know He didn't physically appear in my room, but in a vision, I had an encounter with the Lord. And to be honest with you, it was the love of God imparted to me in a way I didn't expect. That was the last day I ever smoked. Gary, it was easy. No. When my flesh fought like a tiger, trying to get me back into smoking. My flesh and my emotions, are you kidding me? In fact, I think part of the reason He let me go through that, the price that I paid to get my in my flesh, I don't ever want to pay that price again. But now here's an amazing thing. Now, the flesh is positionally dead. We remember Romans 8? God, we haven't hardly touched these verses. Remember Romans 8? It is through the Spirit that you mortify the deeds of the body. And in the beginning, we all thought, because it had a capital S, that it's through the Holy Spirit that you mortify the deeds of the body. But in context, when Dave took us down the born again trail, that's not a big S there. Shouldn't be a big S. No, that's that new nature. The new nature alone is enough to free you from sin. How would you nurture that new nature? Beloved, but you, beloved, building yourselves up. Building who up? Building yourselves up on your most holy faith. Doing what? Praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep praying in the Holy Ghost. God will walk through hell with you while you're fighting against whatever stronghold it is. There's something in your, and I hate to say flesh because we think of the body, there's something in your soul. And your body, probably, that likes iniquity still. And let's start calling it what it is. Gossip is iniquity. Backbiting is iniquity. He says, instead of me telling, we'll let him tell it, which he does here in a minute. He lays out iniquity pretty straight. Did I ever read Romans? Nope. Okay, Romans 1:18. Here's just a few verses on the wrath of God. First one is in Romans 1:18. Let's back up one or two. Verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God, now this is the verse, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Does it sound to you like the wrath of God's been done away? Nobody's answering nothing. Okay, let's go to another one. Go over to Ephesians chapter 5. You know, we did Ephesians for a year, and God said that was a good introduction. Ephesians 5, look at verse 6. Well, I can't start at verse 6. Let's start in verse 1. Ephesians 5:1. Be you therefore followers of God as dear children and walk in what? Now, is that not our goal? We're wanting to walk in love. The real love of God. Not just know about it. See, and I tell you how you can find out if you're walking there. Read 1 Corinthians 13 in the Amplified. See if it doesn't kill you dead. You know, you go, oh, God. Where does it say He loves me? Where does it say He loves me? John 3:16. Let's go back there. Just as I am without one plea. Anyway. I'm going to walk in love, you know. Isn't that what He says? Walk in love. As Christ also hath loved us and hath given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But now here He goes. I mean, that's the truth. He always builds you up first. God, walk in love. Christ loved us. He gave Himself as an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Don't forget that. He loves you. All of God's wrath was poured out on Him, and as long as you trust in Him, you have access to that love, you know. But, now this is where I'll be honest with you, I never heard these passages taught out of the Radical Grace preachers. I don't ever hear these passages taught on. They quote Paul all the time, but not this part. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, that's greedy, let it not be once named among you as becomes saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking. Now, if you really look that up, it's not talking about you can't tell jokes. What it's really talking about is dirty jokes. That's really what, and the whole world is full of that. You get around somebody just in the world, you know. Anyway. And they just think it's so, I used to think it was so funny before I got saved. Nothing in me likes that anymore. Oh, I was going to finish up with the nicotine. The thing I've learned now, though, with the body, even though my body's been declared dead, I have found out the body can be retrained. I used to love the smell of smoke. I used to love it. That first 6 months, I know people shake their heads like, how could that ever have been? Well, maybe you love something else. Maybe you love gossip. But anyway. Can't wait to... I heard it. Something burns in you till you tell somebody. I heard this. I got to dish it, you know. But they like to dish, but they don't like to get dished. I'll tell you. You know, you can be addicted to other things. There's a feeling in you that likes that. Okay. Anyway, I've learned, now it's been years, it's been more than a decade. I hate the smell of smoke. My body hates it. Nothing in me, and apparently there's nothing in my soul. Y'all remember the face thing I went through this summer with the skin cancer? It was kind of bad. I mean, it was scary. Kyle, I just love my son-in-law, Kyle. He just plainly says, I mean, he's an honest man. He says, I had no faith at all. You were going to die. I love him. He's honest, you know, and he told me that. You need to go see a doctor. You're going to die. Are you hearing me, Gary? And it made me feel bad. It looked scary. I mean, nothing in me during that whole period ever went, gee, I need to go get a smoke. My soul has been delivered. There's nothing in me. Not my flesh. I don't want that feeling. I don't need that feeling anymore. There's my taste buds, nothing. To smell it now, it's like, you know. Even the flesh can be retrained. So that's good news. Know that. If you're coming off any kind of addiction, there is freedom. Complete freedom. It won't be a war forever. Hallelujah. I didn't know that. I thought it took so long to get free. I thought I was going to be like this forever. Thank God. Okay, let me finish this part here. Verse 3 again. But fornication, I said, a while ago, I was trying to name iniquity. He said, just let me name it. Well, he's naming it. Fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become saints, neither foolishness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words. And boy, there is a lot of preachers preaching on TV with vain words saying those things are okay. They're not saying you should do them, but they're saying there's no penalty if you don't. And that's a lie. Look, for because of these things, here's that phrase, cometh the wrath of God. Upon who? The children of disobedience. Now, he is talking about the unsaved world here. He's talking about the whole world that's not in Christ. But then you talk about a warning. Be not you, therefore, partakers with them. For you were sometimes darkness. And yes, sir, I was going to be nice and just read on. Be not partakers with them. Partakers of what? Quiet in here. What's coming on them? Be not partakers with them of what? The wrath of God. Now don't get it straight. God will walk through hell with you. He knows you're not perfect. Everyone, we should worship God for 5 hours from that sentence. He knows you're not perfect. He loves you anyway. He loves you with your faults. But boy, don't you ever become like the man in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. The man that had his father's wife. Because he was coming to the place where he was boldly doing it. He wasn't being corrected. He wasn't open to correction anymore. He was saying the grace of God covers this. And if that would have been left unchecked, that doctrine eventually would have spread through the whole church. Alan was just teaching on that within the last week or two. That doctrine would have leavened the whole lump. Well, there's a doctrine right now trying to leaven the whole lump. That you're still the righteousness of God while you're sleeping with a prostitute. Well, depends. Be honest with you. Are you man in 1 Corinthians 5? Are you saying it's okay? God has declared that's okay and you can just live that way? Well, the problem really is worse than that. The real root of the problem is, why do you like it? The problem is, what is it in you still that likes it? That's the band. That's the flesh. What is it in us? See, and I'm picking, we can all agree on fornication. You know, that's the easy one. Gossip is, it's stuff that prevents us from really walking in the love of God. Let's say it a different way. It's the stuff that prevents the love of God from flowing unhindered through us. And it's things that we like that our spirit man does not like. Our spirit hates that stuff. God hates that stuff. What stuff? All of this stuff. Let's go to Colossians. Paul writing a very similar message to the Colossian church. Philippians, Colossians, chapter 3. And now, understand, the whole of chapter 3 is talking to Christians. And how you know that for sure, look at how it starts off. If you then be risen with Christ. How many of you are born again? In your spirit, you have been risen with Christ. You've been baptized into his death through baptism, through the regeneration of the Holy Spirit. You have been raised to new life. You have gone from death to life. You are risen with Christ. You are, in God's mind, right now, seated in Him in heavenly places. Amen? This is to Christians. If, then, you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection. And this is the point. Set your affection. What do you love? Gary, what do you love? Where is your affection, boy? You love internet fingers? You love gossip? You love money still? And if you're here like I was sitting there, like Like I said a while ago, there may be part of you going yes on something. You could pick something. Well, there's hope for you. Like there was hope for me. Keep doing the message. The real you does not love those things. There's something that black band, you're just not all the way through it yet. But if you keep doing this message, you will get through. Otherwise, why would God give Dave the vision in the first place? There's hope for us. Amen? Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. Now here is Romans 8 to the Gentiles. Over there he said, mortify. It's through the Spirit that we mortify the deeds of the body. You remember that? Through the Spirit. Romans 8. He goes in more detail to these pagans. These Gentiles. Tulsanites. Mortify, therefore, your members, which are upon the earth. Now, I'm going to read it in the King James, and then I'm going to read it out of the Amplified. Because some of these words are just so foreign to us today. Well, what would be some examples, Paul? What kind of things am I supposed to mortify? Mortify means, how did Dave say that? If you spend the night in a mortuary, being mortified by a mortician. That next day, is your body going to be doing anything? Is it going to be sinning? Well, mortify means bring to a complete stop. Okay? It's already been declared dead. Now he's saying make it dead. Put to death these things. Fornication, uncleanness. See what I mean? Inordinate affection. Evil concupiscence and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God. There it is again. For which things sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience. In the time which you also walked sometime, we all walked in some of that, when you lived in them. But now, he's going beyond those things, but now also put off all these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. There's that dirty jokes again. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. And you have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Now let me read that to you out of the Amplified. Starting in verse 5. So kill, deaden, deprive of power, the evil desire lurking in your members, those animal impulses, and all that is earthly in you that is employed in sin. Animal impulses. You know what fornication and sexual promiscuity really is? I was up there with Travis last month, Travis Klingman up in Othello, and he does a lot of work for different people up there, and we were going by this one ranch, and he was showing me. They had all of the bulls in this one pasture. He says, you can tell how big a ranch is by how many bulls they have. He says, now later on when they put the bulls in with the heifers, I hope I'm saying that all right, the girl cows, every bull gets about 25 cows. See, and worldly men right there, you know, they go, yes. That's the animal impulse. That's the natural animal instinct, you know. Isn't that something? And we carry that over. And there's something in the soul, something in the flesh carries that. It's just an animal impulse. That's not the Spirit of God to have multiple partners like that. It's an animal impulse. They did it right. Those animal impulses and all that is earthly in you that is employed in sin. Sexual vice, impurity, sensual appetites, unholy desires, and all greed and covetousness, for that is idolatry, the deifying of self and other created things instead of God. It is on account of these very sins that the holy anger of God is ever coming upon the sons of disobedience. Those who are obstinately opposed to the divine will. among whom also you once walked when you were living in and addicted to such practices. But now put away and rid yourselves completely of all these things. Anger, rage, how about this one? Bad feeling toward others. Curses and slander and foul-mouthed abuse and shameful utterances from your lips. Do not lie to one another, for you have stripped off the old unregenerate self with its evil practices and have clothed yourselves with the new spiritual self, which is ever in the process of being renewed and remolded into fuller and more perfect knowledge, upon knowledge after the image, the likeness of Him who created it. In this new creation, all distinctions vanish. There is no room for, and there can be neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, nor even differences between nations, whether alien, barbarians, or Scythians, who are the most savage of all, nor slave or free man, but Christ is all and in all, everything and everywhere to all men, without distinction of person. God. I thank God for the day that Sue and I walked through the doors of the prayer center. For 12 years, up until that point, we had been saved and spirit-filled and doing our best to serve God, but it was primarily a mental walk, finding things that needed to be done and doing it and hoping some of it was His will for our lives. But I got to be honest with you, there wasn't, other than the first month or so, you know, I told you about the first month I got saved and drinking went out the window and all these things went out the window, well, out the door. From that point, though, there was not all that much transformation. I look back at it now, I didn't change very much during that 12 years. We served God. Most of it was being led by our own mind. But I thank God for the days we walked through this, walked through the doors of this church. And they begin saying, you know, there is a walk of the Spirit. There is a way. Just because you want to. That you can go into the fullness of God. And allow the Holy Spirit to not only become your guide to lead you into God's plan for your life, but also allow the Holy Spirit to strip away that part of you that's no longer like Christ and begin remolding you into the fullness of all that He is. I thank God for the message of this church. If we're going to go where He's really called us, into the manifested love of God, that band of flesh has got to be conquered. That's how you wrestle against principalities and powers, first level. That's how they have access. Say it with me. I am made in the image of Christ, no matter my history. I hate iniquity. And I love righteousness. We'll see you in 30 minutes.